From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 11th day of December 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's from L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on campus, will help us explore this morning's WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, report released by the United States Department of Agriculture. We'll take a look at last week's OPEC meeting and the impact it has or will have on the oil industry and the energy sector with Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. And as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Hey, Wayne, thanks for being with me today.
Great to be here, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what the marketplace looks like for this Tuesday. USDA released a report this morning. Didn't change a lot. It was the overnight trade, I suppose, that changed things. And there was some thought that the Chinese, and we've seen this over the last 2 days, will actually come in and make purchases, though I don't think we've seen anything concrete just yet, have we?
No, we haven't. We keep looking for that. Bloomberg keeps saying they're going to buy 5 million metric tons of beans and some corn and wheat and pork along the way also. But we haven't actually seen that. And if you look at the basis levels at the Gulf out west and interior, know that they have been making inquiries. We've heard that they've looked especially at the Pacific Northwest as to seeing what the basis levels might be and maybe looking to arrange some freight. But no deals have actually been made that we know of or is showing up in the news wires as of yet. But I think there's some back talk with the big grain companies.
I think the only thing that really WASDE report this morning was that they changed the ethanol export number?
Yeah, we reduced that 50 million bushel, and we lowered our imports 5 million. So basically, our ending stocks grew by 45 million over last month's report, and that was about it. Other than that, there was very little. They narrowed in the range farm gate price into $3.25 to $3.95, and we raised the bean price 15 cents on the low end, bringing it up a little bit. But other than that, just not much changes there. And just watching the trade, all these reports since they've been released during the markets, there's quite a flurry the second that the report's released and the algorithms and their computers can see and trade it. And today there was none of that. I mean, it was just as still as it had been all morning. So not much change in the report. The report did not cause much change in the trade today, that's for sure.
Yeah, so it's probably important to note that while USDA did raise the bottom end of the soybean number, it narrowed everything in. I know the soybean midpoint didn't change, and I think the 360 midpoint on corn is the same. Soybeans, at 860 now, so that number's the same, too. So just not a lot of changes happening today. Expectations for the rest of the week, anything up that we should be watching?
Well, the Washington Post reported that the U.S. is planning a new round of accusations against China over hacking and economic espionage and indictments against multiple hackers suspected of working for China and participating in long-running espionage campaign targeting U.S. networks. And that isn't good for us to try to be getting along for this new trade deal. We have got news that they've talked a lot, and it looks like they're coming next week, and we look for something to happen before that time frame. And, that way, I'm not sure how the government, we might see a shutdown if we can't get a little agreement here on a few things in Washington, quite an active exchange between Pelosi and the president today.
It was an interesting exchange. Those who have not watched it probably should find it, because if nothing else, it's entertaining to watch and probably a little scary as it relates to a potential for a government shutdown, I think. So all those things are happening, and thank you for helping us to keep track of them.
Okay, Todd. Already. Talk to you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Just two agricultural items to brief you on today. The Farm Bill up first. It should be voted on either late this week or early next week. It came out of conference and was signed by the conference committee members yesterday. By now, you've probably already heard about the interesting discussion that President Trump had with the leadership of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, earlier today as it relates to the wall and shutting down government. In the beginning of that conversation, the president did talk about the Farm Bill and the bipartisan way in which he expects it will pass through both the House and the Senate.
The Farm Bill is moving along nicely, and I guess they'll be voting on Friday or so, but pretty
soon.
Close.
Soon.
And we think the Farm Bill's in very good shape. A lot of good things are happening with it, and our farmers are well taken care of. And again, that'll be quite bipartisan, and it'll happen pretty soon. And then we have the easy one, the wall. That'll be the one that will be the easiest of all. What do you think, Chuck? Maybe not?
It's called funding the government, Mr. President.
So we're going to see, but I will tell you the wall will get built. We'll see what happens.
It might be important to note that the president, when talking about the Farm Bill, discussed the bipartisanship of the bill. He did ignore the push that had been put on by the House and the Trump administration to include increased work requirements for the SNAP program. That issue was set aside a couple of weeks ago. The other big domestic agenda item for the day came from the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers, which proposed a new definition that clarifies federal authority under the Clean Water Act for WOTUS. The proposal would replace the controversial and court-stricken 2015 definition of the waters of the U.S. rule with one that, quote, restores the rule of law and the primary role of states in managing their land and water resources. This according to the EPA Administrator, Andrew Wheeler. Wheeler says the agency's proposal would replace the 2015 definition with a, quote, clearer and easier to understand definition that will result in significant cost savings, protect the nation's navigable waters, and reduce barriers to important economic and environmental projects. Agriculture generally has applauded the release of the new WOTUS rule. The agency will take comment on the proposal for 60 days after publication in the Federal Register. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, to go through the numbers released by the United States Department of Agriculture in its December set of reports. This is just the WASDE of the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Start with the corn numbers. There were some figures that were changed that make a difference.
The main change was to the ethanol crush. They lowered it 50 million bushels to about on par with what we did last year. I've been thinking for a while it might be close to that. I think it might be slightly higher than that. It really is coming down to ethanol exports this year. I think we might see more strength than they are currently assuming in ethanol exports, but their previous number of 5.65 billion bushels was definitely too high based on what we've seen first 3 months of the year. So that's not unexpected to revise it down. I think maybe some people were hoping they would revise the corn production numbers, but they rarely do that in December. I think we'll have to wait till January to see if any yield comes out of the crop. But overall, they were pretty much stable. In the world, they raised former Soviet Union corn production some, and that's just more corn out in the world market than maybe a lot of people were expecting. But overall, pretty stable in corn except for those few numbers.
And for soybeans?
No changes in the U.S. to soybean numbers. The big number I've been looking at and been thinking about a lot is the Brazilian production number. They raised it to 122 million metric tons, which is 2 million up from what they had it last month, and well below what some people out of Brazil are talking about this year. I've heard numbers upwards near 130 million metric tons. Right now we're looking at about a 4.5 billion bushel crop, with the potential for it to get closer to 4.7 bushels, depending on how it all ends up. High amount of competition from South American soybean export market in 2019. It's looking that way.
We're right here switching topics just a bit, in that time frame where the Chinese would normally switch from importing U.S. soybeans to importing Brazilian soybeans. The Trump administration apparently having some talks still after the meeting with President Xi a week and a half ago that could result, I suppose, in some import of soybeans from the United States. Is there enough there that's really going to make a difference, in your opinion?
Right now, I don't see it. We could see some soybean imports to China, China imports some U.S. soybeans, but I don't think it's going to be a huge amount. I'm looking maybe in the 150. If they did 150, that'd be great, 150 million bushels, but it may not even be that. The window's quite narrow, and I think there's a lot of risk being assumed by Chinese importers if we can't work out a deal between now and March 1st. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some sales to China. I wouldn't be surprised if they took some deliveries, but we're not probably going to touch the kind of exports we normally do in a marketing year. Actually, we're well below the pace that we normally would see. I still think that 1.9 billion bushels is going to be pretty close in the end if we do see some imports from China. If not, that number is going to have to come down.
So are you thinking 1.75 then?
It could get that bad. I personally don't think so. But I think the 1.9 is pretty close, somewhere within 25 million bushels of that. But if they don't take any, and with the kind of crop we're seeing come out of Brazil and the competitiveness of Brazilian price, especially in the out months past March in 2019, it's going to be a lot of competition for soybeans in the world.
Last Monday, after the Xi-Trump weekend meeting, there was a pop in the marketplace. From the best I can tell, it appears that farmers rewarded that with soybean sales at an increment that would make enough money in their bank to pay whatever end-of-year expenses they have. However, they still have a lot of soybeans on hand, apparently.
No, that's true, and I'm glad some people made sales. I thought that was a good window to make a sale in. Here in central Illinois, you know, going all the way out to November 19, you saw above $9 cash bid prices for beans. You know, I was an advocate of selling some then. If that's the worst sale you made all year, okay. But it could very well be the best sale you made all year. That's what kind of level of uncertainty we're dealing with right now. So I think you're probably going to see after this report, not a lot of movement, maybe down. I mean, if we see some kind of reports about China buying, you may see a little bit of a rally. I'd really look at those as potential sell opportunities for old or new crop soybeans. I know the uncertainty is huge. I will say I think of these things as uncertainty because forecasting is difficult. A lot of the uncertainty for the soybean market's on the downside. We could see a huge crop in Brazil, highly competitive in the export market, and we're not going to crush our way out of this. So keep that in mind as you're thinking about selling soybeans, old and new crop, in 2019.
And corn sales?
I feel like there's still some place for corn. I've been a little more optimistic maybe than a lot of people recently. I've got my forecast right now is a seasonal average price at 370. But that means I'm seeing corn strengthen through the winter months here, and then we'll finally see what kind of acres we're talking about in 2019. That might hang over corn prices for the rest of the year, but we're seeing decent demand, and I think we're going to lose a little bit of that yield come January. But if you made some sales right now, especially old crop corn and even new crop, I don't think it's really a bad decision. But I feel like there's a little bit. We're not talking 25, 30 cents. You know, we're talking dime to 20 cents kind of moves, I think. I see just in general commodity prices across the board relatively flat in 2019. So when you're talking about making sales, in my opinion, these kind of 15-cent rallies or places maybe to take advantage of. That's how I see it.
Finally, looking forward to that January report, you mentioned yield maybe adjustment. Acreage adjustment, does it make much difference, do you think, or will it just be yield for corn?
I think you could see some acres, but it's not going to be a lot. As much as some people are maybe speculating, I know a lot of corn got out late, beans as well, but I think folks went ahead and got some of those acres. I don't think there's been a lot of abandonment, to be honest with you. We could see some marginal acreage loss in both, but I don't, in my opinion, it's not going to be enough to make a difference.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. Stephen Platt is here from Archer Financial Services. He is in Chicago. Last week, Stephen, there was an OPEC meeting, and I'm not really quite sure what happened because it took them a while to get through the process. What happened, if you could recap that for me, and what it might mean to the marketplace or did mean?
Well, we've seen a lot of changes in the oil market over the past, actually, few months, certainly, in terms of the weakness that we've seen as we approach that meeting. And OPEC's back was really against the wall. One thing to remember in terms of OPEC is the organization as an organization has changed. It's now really just two producers, Saudi Arabia and the Russians, making the primary decisions. And I think that decision was even made before the OPEC meeting took place at the G20 when you saw MBS, the Saudi prince, sit next to Putin, that they had already agreed to a production cut to support the market. That cut, which totaled 1.2 million barrels, there was only Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and Russia basically producing above the levels which had prevailed prior to that, or in the last agreement, when we were so worried about prices moving higher that they had been egged on by our administration to raise production to get prices down. They did that, and subsequently prices fell. They fell much further than they had thought as the U.S. came in with waivers. And subsequently, we did see a production cut take place. Now, the question now is that production cut now enough to sop up the surplus from the U.S. granting waivers for in terms of our importers of Iranian crude, and also the expansion in U.S. crude production. Next year, U.S. will be the largest crude producer in the world. And as a result, the market is sensing that we are still going to be seeing, outside of OPEC and Russia, a rather large increase in production levels. So the market is still certainly on the defensive. As a result, even with the production cut we've seen, it is still flush with crude, which will be apparent during the first half of the year. After the first half, you should see the consumption levels expand enough to absorb that surplus. But I think even with the 1.2 million barrel per day production cut that we saw out of OPEC, you still are pretty much flush with crude. This is one of the reasons the market has not responded to the OPEC production cut. We're still basically flirting with the $50 area and probably will trade in a range maybe between 50, 55, maybe even 58 on the upside to see how that stock surplus actually evolves.
And then this morning in the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, the agency cut ethanol exports. What do you make of that number?
I'm not surprised in that you are seeing increasing levels of gasoline production available worldwide. That is economically to use relative to ethanol if there is going to be tightness, it is in the diesel side of the market rather than the gasoline side.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 11th day of December. We're now joined by Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what the weather looks like in South America. USDA told us that Brazil has a big soybean crop on the way, and that's because weather has been good. Will it stay good over the next couple of weeks?
Well, it's going to be a little drier. We're going to see some dryness in some of the central and southern growing areas of Brazil and also Argentina as well. So it's not going to be as moist as it's been, but at the same time, we're not flipping to completely hot and dry either. So while it is a bit of a drier forecast over the next week or so, it's nothing to be of a concern as of yet.
Here in the United States, I know we had some problems in the south earlier in the week, but it looks like temperatures, and certainly today is clearly much milder than it has been, are going to be moderate in the second half of December.
Well, let's go through the next 10 days or so, and I do think they certainly will be more moderate, as the Pacific is going to be pushing in much more mild air, the jet stream sort of getting itself realigned. So most of the nation will enjoy warmer temperatures. However, we're still going to see some stormy weather head into the nation's midsection here later this week and into the start of the weekend. Mostly a rain event on the northern edges, or could be a little bit of snow in the Great Lakes and some areas of the Northeast. The last, let's say, week to 10 days of December, Todd, we're getting some long-term trend changes that point to the end of this month probably is going to be turning much colder.
Is there a pattern that you see somewhere in the, across the planet that's telling you that's going to happen?
Yes, and it's way, way up high in the stratosphere. We're going to see something that the modeling has been very persistent at showing. It's called stratospheric warming, and this happens during the course of a winter, some more than other winters. But this is when the atmosphere expands over the higher latitudes near the North Pole and the Arctic. And this is a pattern, a phenomenon, which pushes cold air from those northern latitudes south. And the way it's positioned, it could be taking aim at North America at the end of the month and into early January.
Do we know why they develop? It seems like it would be fairly normal that warmer air would be higher up. On the flip side, it usually gets colder as you go higher.
Yeah, it's a little counterintuitive that when the atmosphere way up high gets warmer, what happens is the warmer the air is, the more the atmosphere expands. And when you push up against the edge of space up in those higher latitudes there, the pushing ends up going closer to the ground. So the cold air that's on the ground in those higher latitudes gets a push south. It's totally normal. Some years we see it more than others. And certainly this year we're seeing signs that it's going to develop here at the end of the month.
Well, thank you so much for explaining that. We appreciate it. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.